following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, we're in Isaiah chapter 6. We wrap up our series on spiritual gifts. As I mentioned earlier in the book of Psalms, you know, search your heart this morning. Where is the Lord wanting to send you? And are you in a position right now to where you're saying, Lord, not only do I want to know what my spiritual gift is, I want to be in a position to where you can use me in whatever way you choose. And I think we see that in Isaiah through his calling. We often look at chapter 6 as Isaiah's calling. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, all three major prophets, they had somewhat similar experiences as to where the Lord called them and brought them to. One of the first things we see about a person who is fully surrendered to the Lord, God has gotten their attention in some way, shape, or form. We don't know a whole lot about Isaiah's life before this moment, but in chapter 6, it opens up in verse 1 by saying that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. So here's what I want you to learn from that. Point number one, trials are God's way of getting our attention. Unfortunately, most of us are a little bit stubborn and hard-headed. I know that's going to come as a surprise to you. And sometimes we don't readily submit to the Lord. Sometimes we don't fully surrender until God just grabs us by the nape of the neck and says, I'm trying to tell you something. So that's exactly what the Lord had to do to Isaiah here. Uzziah wasn't just a normal king. Uzziah was one of the greatest kings for Judah, serving for 52 years. Isaiah and Uzziah were also first cousins. Isaiah's father, Amoz, was brother to King Amaziah, which was Uzziah's father. So in the year that King Uzziah died, that really got Isaiah's attention. The Bible gives very little background or details about Isaiah's life prior to the death of Uzziah. We actually know more about King Uzziah's background than we do Isaiah's. But what was Isaiah actually thinking about the time of Uzziah's death? Isaiah was probably thinking, man, things are going to go downhill from here. We'll never make it. God has forsaken us. But through that event, through that moment, God got Isaiah's attention, and it wasn't until then. Sometimes people submit to the Lord readily. Sometimes they don't have to go through that. But most of the times, what I see in a Christian's life is that God has to do something disastrous to really get their attention. I think about the days after 9/11. America woke up to what was going on. Churches were filled. They were packed. They were overflowing in the days after the attack on the World Trade Center. But think about your life and what's been going on. The time that I surrendered to the ministry, there were several things going on. If anything, I should have been running away from the ministry instead of the Lord pulling me to it. But God had my attention. And here's what happened in Isaiah as well. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and in the train of the robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. Two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah realized that he needed something in his life, and what he needed was a closer relationship with the Lord. While the earthly king was deceased and no longer on the throne, God was still on his throne and in control. But through this vision, through what the Lord did through getting Isaiah's attention, and through this vision, he realized, man, I am a sinful man. I am separated from a God who loves me. I am undone. Woe is me. So here's the thing. the situation that Isaiah was in, he had two choices. He could either get mad at God for letting Uzziah die, or he could draw closer to the Lord. In our life, in our sinful condition, we are alienated from a God who loves us and wants to use us for His glory. And when you compare the calling of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they all start the same. Woe is me. I am unworthy. God could never use someone like me. I have too much baggage. I have too many skeletons in my closet. My past is something that's going to pull me down if I try to surrender from the Lord. We realize when God is holy, when we realize the holiness of God, we say, I'm just an undone person. I am unclean. Here's what Isaiah has to say. The truth is, none of us are worthy to be used by God, so you can just take that excuse out of your book right now. Here's what Isaiah says, Isaiah 64, verses 6 and 7. He says, but we all are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There's no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Here's what I want you to see through that. Have you reached a point where you're willing to allow the Lord to examine every place in your heart? He knows about it anyway. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows all about your past. He was creating you and shaping you while you were in your mother's wombs. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. The Bible says that the very hairs on your head are numbered, no matter how many or how few you have. He knows your heart already. But what he wants to do is he wants to put you in a position to where you're saying, Lord, here's my heart. I want you to search it. I want you to clean it out. I'm an undone person. I'm unworthy, but I know that you can make me worthy. Back to Psalm 139:23. Search me, God. Know my heart and try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In our sinful condition, we're alienated from a God who loves us and wants to use us. Here's the thing about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not natural. They're not natural talents. They're not natural abilities. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. And it's only till you have an encounter with a God who loves you and a Savior who died for you that you can have a supernatural experience and understand what your spiritual gift is. Here's the first step to saying yes to the Lord. The first step to saying yes to the Lord is giving Him access to every area of your life. You just get before Him and say, Lord, I am undone. I need you to put me back together again. Woe is me, for I am undone. And at that moment, the Lord took over the situation. Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And watch what the Lord does beginning in verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Have you ever been in a hot pocket coming straight out of the microwave? It's like putting molten lava in your mouth. It's something that you will never, ever forget. And it's an experience that's painful. Your whole body reacts to it. Your eyes water. Your nose runs. It's something that really gets your attention. This was not a comfortable situation for Isaiah. This was something that left an impact on him. So much so, it was just like a hot coal touching his lips. And that's what the Lord had to do to get his attention and remove his sin and iniquity from him. Dealing with sin is not a pleasant experience, but it is a necessary experience. Jesus dealt with our sin on the cross of Calvary. He took a beating. He had his beard plucked. He had a crown of thorns placed upon it. It was painful. And Isaiah said that when the Lord dealt with my sin, it was not a comfortable experience at all. Here's the next point. Only Jesus can purify us to a point where we are acceptable and usable. Isaiah had nothing to do with this. The Lord said, now that you know you're undone, I'm going to take care of the rest. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. You will never go any further in your Christian walk. You will never get any closer to finding what your spiritual gift is until you first deal with your sin issue. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And in that sinful state, we are alienated from a God who loves us. And as we're talking about Christmas in July, that's the only reason Jesus clothed himself in flesh and blood and came to this earth. In heaven one day, God said, I need someone who will be the sacrifice for my children to take away from their sins. He looked around and there was Jesus. Jesus said, here I am. Send me. I'll do it. I'm willing. I want to be that one-time sacrifice. I want to be the atonement, the one-time atonement for their sins. And only Jesus can purify us to a point where we are acceptable and usable. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now and let us reason. Although our sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Only Jesus can purify your sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. Spiritual gifts are not natural. They are supernatural. You must be born again to receive the gift of everlasting life. And you must be born again of the Spirit of God to understand and to find and to use your spiritual gifts. You probably think right now that I want you to find your spiritual gift so that I can put you to work around here. Maybe that's what you've been thinking for the past 8 or 9 weeks. Brother Tracy just wants to put me to work. No, that's not the case. I want you to find your spiritual gifts so you can get closer to God. Because your Christian life is never going to reach the level of fulfillment that God wants until you are faithfully serving Him in some capacity. I want you, just like Isaiah here, to be able to see Jesus in everything that you do each and every day of your life. And then I got some stuff for you to do around here. But I want you to know that your life has been transformed by the Spirit of the living God. Probably up until this point, some of you have probably been saying no to God all of your life. You probably have a rebellious heart and you don't even realize it. You've become callous to the things of God, and all God wants from you is a yes. Yes, God, here I am. I'm recording for duty. What do you have for me today? Here I am. Cleanse me and then send me. Purify me, forgive me, transform me, and use me. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way of righteousness for your name's sake. So how about you? Where do you stand today? Is there a point in your life where you can look back? You knew that you were undone. You were saying, woe is me, for I am an undone. undone thing. I'm unclean. I'm filthy. I've made some mistakes in my life. But now I want to say yes to the Lord. Yes, have your way in my life. Yes, I want your blood to cleanse me of my sins. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while now. Maybe you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've been born again. But you just haven't reached that fulfillment that you were expecting. Maybe it's because you haven't found a place where you can serve. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Somewhat of a different service this morning. But I thought it was a fitting way to wrap up our series on spiritual gifts. And as you watched those videos, as you heard the report, you saw that it took many, many different people equipped in many different ways to accomplish what the goal of Operation Christmas Child was. But as we think about gifts, I want you to think about God's greatest gift ever, eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. No other gift that you will ever receive will compare to that. Knowing that someone took your place on the cross of Calvary, knowing that God is willing and able to forgive you your sins, wipe away your past, all your mistakes, all your shortcomings, and make you a new person. That's what it means to be born again. It's just like starting your life all over. Have you experienced that in your life? Do you know for sure where you'll spend eternity at? It's not a think so, it's a know so. 1 John chapter 5, all these things I've written to you, believe upon the name of Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've bowed down on your knees, you've confessed your sins, and you've asked Jesus to become the Savior, Lord, Master, and ruler of your life? Have you given Him complete and total control, not only of your eternal destination, but the things that take place in your life each and every day? This invitation is for everyone. If you're here today and you want to know more about beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ, what it means to be born again, I'm here. John Logan's here. We'd love to talk to you and tell you more about that. But if you're here today and you just want to say, yes, here I am, Lord, send me. I'd love to pray with you about that. And if you don't need someone to pray with, these altars are open. You don't wait. You come now as you are, as the Lord leads you. But here in just a moment, as the music begins, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a closing hymn of invitation. And that will indicate your time to respond to wherever the Lord is leading you. Maybe you just want to know, how can I become more involved in Operation Christmas Child? We've got some material up here. Tells you how you can do that, how you can pack a box on your own, how you can join us and be with us and participate in this group that does that. So basically, the invitation this morning is for each and every person to respond as the Lord leads them. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much that we see your kingdom growing each and every day. We see activities like Operation Christmas Child and so many other ministries that we're involved in, growing, moving, reaching the places of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ that no one's ever been before. Telling this new generation that there's a God who loves them and a Savior who died for them. Breaking barriers of race, religion, denomination. Lord, we just pray that here at our church, when we open these doors, that they understand that they are open for anyone and everyone. And I pray, Lord God, that as we walk out these doors, we'll be the hands and feet of Jesus in everything that we say and everything that we do. And that we would find a practical way to show the love of Jesus to someone who's in need, Lord God. I've heard so many people repeating that phrase, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And Lord, we want people to know that there's a place here for them and for their family to grow. So I pray that you'll stir hearts this morning, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would move about, sweep across this congregation, Lord God, that any and all issues that are hindering us from seeing revival will be dealt with. But most importantly, Lord, if there's any one person here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would today receive the greatest gift ever, forgiveness of sins and eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.